Welcome, everyone. This is the Board of Adjustment meeting for June the 11th, 2015. Could I have a roll call, please?
Falk?
Here.
Gallagher?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Spranger?
Here.
Bollinger?
Here. The Board of Adjustment is a five-member board appointed by the mayor. It's to discuss special uses and variances as they apply to the city ordinances. Each member has had an opportunity to go out and visit the site in question and usually comes prepared to make a decision this evening. The first item on the board is, approve the minutes, the first item, excuse me.
Move to approve.
Second.
Second. Would you call the roll, Lisa?
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Bollinger?
Yes. The board has four cases this evening, and case number A is 15-033 at 3612 Lakewood View Court. It's an R1 district. It's a request for a variance to increase the allowable garage area from 936 square feet to 1,502 feet, submitted by Ryan Windmiller. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Site's located at the southwest corner of Forest Glen Court and Lakeview Court, and it's highlighted in yellow in the graphic being displayed. The applicant would like to build a new house that incorporates an L-shaped four-car garage that would exceed the allowable garage space by approximately 566 square feet. When viewed from the front, that being Lakeview Court side, there would be no visible evidence of the large garage. The garage area is actually right in here. And when viewed from the side, it would appear to be a normal two-car garage. There's an entrance here for two vehicles, and then an entrance coming in from the back end of this portion for the other two-car portion. The applicant states in the variance that we've gone through considerable efforts to disguise the additional garage space to make it appear as livable area when viewed from the street. Staff would agree with that assessment on what they tried to do here. If allowed, the house and garage would appear to be similar to the other residences in the area, should not distract aesthetically from the surrounding neighborhood. Based on the above analysis and the board's review, they may, at their discretion, feel that this is compatible and surrounding to the neighborhood. I believe that summarizes the case. Only one other thing, I would like to thank the applicant. They worked with staff so that we did not have to schedule a special meeting when we had to defer this last month, and they were able to wait until we had the regular meeting. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this proposal? Please state your name and address, please.
Ryan Windmiller, 5885 Remington Road North.
Thank you.
John, could you go to the side view? I just wanted to say one more thing in regards to this. It will view garage door-wise, there will only be three garage doors for the four-car. That garage that you're seeing is a single-car door, so the remaining part is hidden. And I just wanted to also ask if you guys had any specific questions for me.
Anybody have a question for Ryan? Thank you, Ryan. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in opposition to this request? Seeing none, what's the board decision? Discussion?
I go back to my same contention that, it looks the same. We have these requests come before us quite frequently now. To be in conformance, this house, if they built a second story, this is a single story, right, with a walkout. They built a bonus room over the garage or something like that, they might be in conformance and not need a variance. So, given all of that, I don't really have any issues with it. I don't know if anybody else has any comments.
Anyone else have any issues?
No, I don't have any issues with it. Unfortunately, it's a constant problem. I don't know how we get around it.
Well, we are doing a rewrite of the ordinance. I know this is something we've been in discussion at the staff level. We're in the infancy right now of the ordinance rewrite.
Okay.
We do see a difference between the new sections of the community for garages of these sizes and the original sections of the community, so we're going to have to figure out a way to make some kind of distinction.
Yeah, I agree, and the lack of a standard, so to speak. In other words, there is no hardship, clearly. It's just a matter of do we think it looks aesthetically nice, and therefore are we going to go ahead and give them a variance? I'm not sure that's exactly what we should be doing all the time. But.
Well, yeah. I mean, to be in conformance, they could put a 6-inch step in half of that one garage. But right. Aesthetically, it would look no different outside. So
I agree that we should approve it. I just think it's puts us in a very awkward sort of a situation. So. But I'm in favor of it.
Is there a motion?
I'll move to approve the variance.
Second.
Would you call the roll, Lisa?
Falk?
Present.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Springer?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes. Case 15-034 at 3612 Lakeview Court in R1 District has been approved.
And Mr. Chairman, we've heard your discussions.
Okay.
And we know that this puts you in an uncomfortable position, and we are going to look at that in the ordinance rewrite.
Thank you. Case 15-040 at 2420 18th Street. It's a C5 district. It's a request for a special use permit to allow a seasonal snow cone trailer submitted by Chris Prossel. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This site is located west of Bettendorf Middle School. It's at the southwest corner of Sutton Place and 18th Street. The site was formerly housed the city's insurance group. It's been vacant for several months. The applicant would like to place a seasonal snow cone trailer in the northeast corner of the parking lot. The applicant is showing that the trailer would occupy approximately 4 spaces at that location. Assuming that it actually does occupy that many spaces, there would still be 14 parking spaces around this building. When this was operating as city's insurance, staff never saw this parking lot totally utilized, and we believe that 14 spaces will be sufficient for many of the uses that will be in the C5 district that this could eventually be turned into. This trailer and business operated for years on a seasonal basis with your approval at the southeast corner of Cumberland Square Shopping Center. When it was at that location, it was actually only occupying about 2 parking spaces. So I think this 4 spaces being occupied is the very worst case scenario. The seasonal snow cone business operated for several years at that previous location, had no problems, and no complaints were ever received by staff. We believe that it will be operated in the exact same type fashion here. And depending upon how this building is eventually either sold or to rent it out and what type of business goes into this, if we see a conflict, then at that time, if this is approved, we would bring this back before you if we feel there's a conflict for the parking situation.
Does the owner of that building have the blessing, or the one that wants to put the snow cone business, have the blessing to put it there?
Yes, the applicant is here, and I know he can answer the questions.
Is there
about
someone you're wishing to speak in favor of this request?
Good evening. Chris Bussell, Davenport, Iowa. We have an agreement with the owner to place the building there on a monthly basis throughout the season. And an agreement also states that if he were to rent it out or sell the building, that we'd vacate the premises.
Okay. Okay. Anything else, sir?
No.
Is there anyone here wishing to speak in opposition to this request?
Rich Roller, 2414 18th Street. I am the tenant of the building next door, just to the south of this property. I'm also here representing Dr. Mitchell, who is the owner of that building. The only concern I would have is that first off, is that I apologize for not making it here when you first started the meeting, so you may have discussed this, I'm just not aware of it, is that if this is going to be a permanent allowance, that would require a year-to-year request to be renewed. The only concern I have is that our parking lot and the building next to me to the further to the south, during the school year, we have considerable problem with our parking lots because of middle school. In the morning, we have clients that, we don't have clients, we have people who use our parking lots to drop their kids off, and at 2:30 in the afternoon to 3:30 in the afternoon, they use our parking lots to pick those kids up. I just don't want the pressure on our parking lot to be increased because of this facility being here. I see they located it today on that lot. I was particularly concerned that they would maybe locate it on the grassy area to the south of where it is now. That in particular, I'd be really upset about. I think. I guess the only thing I would ask is that if this is approved, that it'd only be approved for a maximum of 1 year period to allow us to come back and look at it next year. Just does it have any impact on our property as far as the parking lot goes? Does it have any impact on our property as far as maybe litter would go? I assume children will be using this company and their services and their product. Kids tend to throw their litter away. Again, I don't want that to become a burden for me and for the property next to me to clean the litter up. So I guess to where it is located now, I don't really have a complaint about that. It's just that, one, I would not want them to relocate it elsewhere on this piece of property. And secondly, I think we ought to have the opportunity to come back a year from now if they do want to renew it, make them renew it. So, again, we can express our concerns if any of these issues do become a problem, whether it's parking or whether it's litter or whatever else it might be that I haven't even thought of. So from that standpoint, I don't object to the business. I just maybe would like to have some contingencies on it to give us an opportunity to look at it again later. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. As I understand it, and maybe it's the current, with the current owner, this is been approved. If it sells, then it could be moved. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yes.
Okay. So do we have the right to bring this back in a year?
Mr. Chairman, I recall it at least a couple special uses that you did want to see come back a year later.
Okay.
I don't know. This might have been one of them, actually, when it originally went up to Cumberland. But I do know that some of these that are seasonal things, I think the one you were concerned about at one time was the lawn service type products area that went in at Fairway, and you looked at that a year later and found out that it operated just fine. Yes, you did put a condition on some of these that we would like it to come back a year later, not necessarily saying that it wasn't going to be, I guess I'm saying that wrong, not necessarily saying that it would be discontinued in a year, just you wanted to look at it one more time. Staff put it on our agenda and we brought it back to you and gave you a review of how it worked out.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Is there someone like to make a motion to that effect that we review it after a new owner even might be eliminate the problem?
Well, did you say your agreement with the current owner was that if he rented that out or sold that property, didn't you say that then your agreement would come up for you might
yeah
have to
we
vacate.
Would get a notice like in 30 days we'd vacate the premises. That's okay. Correct.
So he's already got that agreement.
Okay.
With the current owner.
Mm-hmm.
Are you moving out of the Spruce Hills location?
Yeah, they didn't want us to go back in there because they felt it was beginning to block their new sign that they placed there a couple years ago. And they had some tenants that were complaining their signs weren't as visible as they'd like them to be.
Okay. Is there a motion to that effect that this be brought back for us discussion within a year?
I'll move that we approve case number 15040. As stated, with the contingency that we bring it back in a year for additional review.
Then staff will bring a report on how it operated at that time.
Probably be better before the season starts, like in March or April or sometime earlier.
Sure. That's a great idea.
The season's already started, you know, so in May, early May.
Bring it back to you in March.
No later than a year.
Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second that.
Okay. So would you call the roll, Lisa?
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Bolliger?
Yes. Case 15-040, 2420 18th Street, a C5 district, has been approved. Case 15-041 at 6478 Spring Creek Drive in R2 district. It's a request for a variance to reduce the required rear yard setback from 25 feet to 23 feet to allow for construction of a deck and to increase the allowable size of a garage from 765 square feet to 890 square feet, submitted by Ryan Windmiller. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The site's located on the south side of Forest Grove Drive. It's near the eastern city limits, this being the eastern city limits here at Criswell, and it's toward the south end of Spring Creek Drive on the west side of the road. If allowed, the house would be similar to other homes in the neighborhood and would asking to have a 3-plus car garage. This is amazingly similar to the first case you just had with the same type of design and the same applicant. The garage would resemble 3-car garages throughout the newer portions of the city. The design of the home incorporates a rear walkout basement with an attached deck that'll be level to the first floor. The request for the increase of garage space represents just a 16% increase into what's allowed, as opposed to the first case, which was considerably more than that. Given the house design illustrated, the garage does not appear to be disproportionate to the house, and it doesn't appear to detract from the aesthetics of the neighborhood. Regarding the deck issue, and this is a little hard to draw with our software, but there's your setback line, and that's about the only portion of that deck that is going to be in the required setback. Just a very small triangular portion of the deck would protrude into that. Of the 224 square foot of the proposed deck area, 8 square feet of it is going to be within the required rear setback. Because of this lot's pie-shaped configuration, the given location is about the only location the builder can put this at to make everything work. The farther you move this house forward, and there's the front setback line, there is room to move it forward, but by doing so, the sides get narrower, and that makes these combined side yard setback now non-compliant. So to put it back where the combined side yard setbacks are, only that 8 square foot portion of the deck protrudes into the rear yard setback. I believe that summarizes both issues. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request? Ryan?
Oh, I'm sorry. If I might add one more thing. I did. We're talking about the rear yard setback to the rear property line. Behind that rear property line is an outlot. It's outlot G. So in reality, from the rear of that deck over to the next possible property, there's going to be a separation of probably 125 square feet. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Would you like to speak to this, Ryan? Okay. A discussion among the board?
My only, you indicated the lot behind that is an outlot.
Yes, sir.
If you were to continue the streets on and develop the rest of that property, ultimately that outlot's going to be buildable, I assume. I don't know that it changes
no.
any. No?
No, sir.
Okay.
So I'm trying to recall, I believe it's utility, drainage.
Oh, okay.
And
well, there's two outlots, actually. There's the first one there that's attached to their property, which is part of the detention area. And then there's another outlot even past that that is the rest of the detention area. Mm-hmm. So there's no possibility of a house being more than probably 500 feet would be the closest lot line when the future property gets developed past that, to the east of that, or to the west of that.
Okay.
Thank you. Anyone here else wishing to speak in opposition to this request? Seeing none, discussion among the board? Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the variance to reduce the setback from 25 to 23 feet on case 15041.
Second. Bryce, second. Would you call the roll, Lisa?
Falk?
Present.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Reiniger?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes. Case 15-041 at 6478 Spring Creek Drive, R2 District, has been approved. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Did we just approve the setback issue, or did we approve both issues?
I will amend my...
Oh.
I thought it was just the variance on the setback, but if it's the garage also...
I'm sorry, I didn't know if I heard it wrong.
No, I didn't say the garage. I apologize. So I'll amend it to
include the
variance for the setback and the increase of the garage size.
Okay, you're second to that.
Second.
Okay, call the roll.
Falk?
Present.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Reiniger?
Yes.
Yes. Been approved. Thank you. Case 15-046, establishment of rules defining reasonable time related to section 11-2B-3A, appeals, hearings, fees, right to appeal. John, you have the floor.
That's a mouthful, Mr. Chairman. The board, the ordinance allows the board to adopt its own rules and procedures that are not in conflict with either the city code or Iowa statutes. And staff is requesting that the board consider establishing a rule regarding the right to appeal staff's decision, specifically the building inspector's decision regarding the interpretation of zoning requirements. The ordinance states that an appeal may be taken to the board by any person, firm, corporation that is aggrieved, or by any officer, department, board, or bureau of the city affected by the decision of the building inspector, and that such appeal shall be made within a reasonable time. The code does not define what that reasonable time is, and therefore that concept as it is right now is left open to interpretation, and our interpretation may be different than the person who wants to appeal. There seems to be a common thread throughout the code that lists 30 days as a reasonable time period for other actions of these type. I guess, therefore, staff would just recommend that the board establish a rule regarding section 11-2B-2-sub-A that establishes a 30-day deadline for all appeals to be taken to the Board of Review.
That's the only thing we're discussing. We're not discussing hearings, fees, or right to appeal.
I believe that was the only conflict that legal staff felt we should take care of this evening.
Does that give enough time to an attorney to prepare a case?
We have two attorneys in the room. I won't.
I can. In fairness, 30 days is pretty much what we get everywhere. I mean, throughout the... this city code and every other city code that I've ever dealt with, the ones that scare me are the ones that change it to 10 or 20 and I don't know about it. But the 30 days is pretty normal.
Okay, just a question. Any discussion among the board?
I guess the question I have is if the consensus, or what we're trying to do here tonight is establish a consensus of a time period, and then the staff will and will produce a rule that we will vote on. Is that it at a future meeting?
Well, tonight you would vote, and
then we
would just incorporate the rule into the board's.
So I was just trying to figure out where we were in this process.
Right. So the vote tonight would be to establish that rule, and then staff would just, you know, solidify it.
Any other discussion?
Are you good enough to use it?
Bryce, do you have anything to discuss on this?
Mm-hmm.
One thing I would suggest, and I assume you will do, but that you let people, when you have somebody that's obviously aggrieved of what you've told them to do, that you tell them that they have 30 days, because it's just very helpful from my standpoint when
yes.
they walk in on the 30th or the 31st day or something. So.
Have there been cases that have been appealed?
And this actually came up because the city was recently involved in some litigation that had to do with setbacks, and a person didn't bring it to the board, and their attorneys were trying to say, well, there's no deadline within which we have to bring it to the board.
Okay.
So, you know, this is just establishing a hard and fast deadline so that everybody's aware. If you, you know, if you've been aggrieved, you have 30 days to bring it to the board, or, you know, you're out of luck, basically.
That's reasonable.
With a board that only meets once every 30 days, is that a problem, or as long as it
they
gets
to the
agenda?
They just have to get their notice in writing,
all
and then it would be placed on
the city
on the next.
And say they're basically
they're going to
appeal.
Okay.
Yeah.
They would just have 30 days within which to tell us that they want to appeal.
And then they could have even a couple more months to
right.
get
sure.
their info together. Okay.
Sure. With this board, in the past, has there been any cases of appeal?
Staff?
There have been numerous that I can recall in my career.
Years ago, I think there was.
Yeah.
We've had a few since I've been here. Yes, sir.
Okay. Just a question. Is there a motion?
I'll move that we approve the definition of reasonable time to be 30 days, as requested, or you have it in writing, or whatever you want me to. I adopt that motion.
The one written there.
Second.
Hold it up to the camera.
Okay.
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Bollacker?
Yes. Is there anything else before the board?
Nothing. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved. Second.